and welcome to the League of Logic podcast, a podcast where you can learn how to think for yourself. If you're new to the podcast, we are here to help people look for, understand, and know the truth. We believe the truth is of utmost importance. Check out our website, leagueoflogic.com. Inside that website, you'll find some study tools that cover some of the basic topics that we use in these conversations. They're like a springboard in your search for truth. You will also find a contact page inside the website where you can send us a comment or a question. We invite you to do that. We would love to hear from you. You can do the same thing on our Facebook page, League of Logic. If you want to support what we're doing, there's a couple ways you can do that. The first one is visit the store inside our website where you can buy t-shirts, hoodies, things like that. That will go a long way in helping us out. Most importantly, follow, subscribe, hit whatever button you got to push to keep up with the channel. That helps out the most in promoting what we're doing. Thank you for listening to the League of Logic podcast. Now get ready for a much needed conversation about truth.
Woo! All right. Podcast episode number 71. Can y'all believe that?
No.
I was actually going to ask what number we were on at some point. I was curious about that.
Episode number 71. Doing one a week, that's a lot, man.
Yeah.
We're almost like, you know, what's this? Joe Rogan famous.
Yeah. Seems like only just a few days ago that we got started.
Yeah. With the plastic shower curtain type backdrops.
Yep.
Yeah, man. The styrofoam logo.
Yep.
How awesome was that, man?
Setting up and tearing down before every podcast recording.
And I remember setting it up thinking, this is awesome. You know what I mean? This is awesome. Oh, man.
And I was talking with my brother, I think it was yesterday. Like, this sitting down and recording this podcast every week is one of the highlights of my week. I just enjoy doing it.
Yeah, me too. And it's like I was telling you guys earlier, man, this podcast, it changed my pop's mind it just changed his whole direction and way of thinking. He had never really even sat down to consider, you know, what is truth and how do we know it? And I mean, again, like I was telling you, he'd sit there, he would think, and he'd be like, but that's so simple. Yeah, it is. You just need to stop letting the world tell you what to think and start using your own brain. You know what I mean? It's not that hard. If it was, I wouldn't be able to do it.
This was 777,000 episodes, and we only had one listener, and it made a difference. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking the same thing. One is worth it.
Because it's eternal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think at the same time, we should be like the guy on Hacksaw Ridge. Lord, let me get one more.
Yeah, Lord, let me go get one more. Yeah, that's, I like that thought. Pops would like that thought, too. That's one of the last things we talked about, too, was, because, he always listened to the podcast, and then he would, he wanted to talk about it some more, which I thought was awesome, because it just gave me and Pop something to talk about. But towards the last 3 or 4 months, whenever, when he was feeling real good and we'd be talking about these things, We started leaning in on, well, wonder why we aren't saying this more to people. What holds us back? Because, I mean, he had that same problem that a lot of us have. And, he was a gentle giant, tender-hearted man. He didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. He was never out to offend anybody on purpose. And it always kept him from being able just to tell, particularly those that were closest to him, the truth.
Right.
Worried about hurting their feelings. And, man, that we're conditioned. We've been trained. You're not allowed. You got to get that out of your mind. Mm-hmm. That's what I felt like saying yesterday. I was like, I wanted to say, in the words of Brian, you need to look for and know the truth. Yeah.
Well, that's true, man. It is. It's hard to motivate people a lot of times, though.
It is.
It's so much easier just to go with the flow. Take it as it comes. There's less worries in it. People don't want to deal with it because the truth does hurt. Truth is not easy. Uh-uh. Not easy at all.
Particularly when you've been conditioned for so long to believe a lie.
Yeah.
that's the part I like the most about coming here and doing this podcast, is we can actually just talk about stuff and, you know, not worried so much about hurting people's feelings, because, you know, we're pretty much all on the same page about most things, and, you know, grounded in truth. And even when we're not, we can talk about truth and not hurt each other's feelings. Right.
Right.
We have the metaphorical shield between those that would be offended and say something rude back to us. We have the internet blocking us.
That's right. And the ability to delete their comments.
We're in our safe little conversation here.
Yeah. I mean, it makes it good, and it gives an outlet. I mean, they can listen to it if they want to. And, you know, there's something, too, whenever you get together in a group of people, particularly believers, not just here on the podcast, but even in general, through church and fellowships with, you know, at your work or whatever, people who are like-minded, you know, of the faith. As you talk through these type of issues, I mean, not only are you like, it's sharpening your sword. You're becoming more prepared to be able to address the questions and everything else that come up for those who don't believe or still are fooled by the lie. You know what I mean?
All right.
And for me, the podcast has equipped me better to be prepared, so that whenever you do run across those contrary truths, you know, contrary ideas, contrary to truth, it's really easy to spot. And then being able to discuss it first with you guys, I mean, it makes it so I don't
stumble so much
or jump off the deep end with like a, you know, with a hatchet, you know, just going crazy. I mean, sometimes it happens, you know, sometimes, but I don't know.
You know, you talked about looking for and knowing the truth, taking work, David. I had a thought along that line this week myself, that in pretty much everything you do, anything worth having in some way takes work and effort to get it. Even thinking about the, you know, the cliche, relaxing on a beach, enjoying the sunshine with your toes in the water and the sand, it took work to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Then you think something as simple as even making the perfect sandwich with all the right layers and enjoying a delicious sandwich, it takes work to put that together in some form. So everything worth having takes effort. Even the things that seem like they're relaxing. And I think that's the way the world is and has been since the garden.
Yep.
Things worth having take effort.
You said it.
By the sweat of your brow.
You said it.
Yeah.
Half the time we come in here, we don't even know what we're going to say on the podcast.
We sure don't.
And last night I had a lot of stuff on my mind. A lot of it come because of your message yesterday. I mean, just, man, that was inspiring. But I started writing stuff down that I was going to mention today. And I had to keep cutting it back. You know how it is when I go on a rant.
Take off, brother.
If I have to explain, I'm not good at explaining things, so... And writing it down, I got it down to like 6 pages.
Sweet. We got 6 hours on the card. We're good.
I really debated whether I was going to do that, even say anything this morning, but y'all just fell right into it.
Let's hear it.
That's what he said. It's your fault.
It has a lot to do with the podcast. I mean, what the podcast is for. But I've been doing some study on the men of renown, because it has everything to do with what we're talking about. But in a roundabout way, I mean, we talk about the spiritual war and being able to see things spiritually in truth. And you said earlier that we get along pretty good. We don't hurt each other's feelings. A big part of the reason we don't hurt each other's feelings is because we all have to go, we know to go back to truth.
Right.
So if you speak truth, it's not an argument between you and I.
Can't argue.
Okay, I can't argue it.
Right.
It's between me and God. That's where the difference is. But I think a lot of people, if you don't get in God's word, you're not going to know what the truth is.
This is it.
So you're automatically going to argue. You're going to question. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you an example. I want to use an example of what it is to study God's word. And when you hear things in this podcast, you're not going to see the spiritual world. You're not going to understand any of it unless you study, mm-hmm. unless you read God's word. So I'm going to start out with an example to show something that everybody here should study, okay? And I'm going to have to read a lot of this because, you know, my mind will go somewhere else. The interpretation is revolving around Genesis 6. The sons of God and giants is historically controversial, and I'm not here to debate that. However, I spent a lot of years studying this subject, not because I'm infatuated with biblical giants or anything like that. It's because Genesis 6 provides historical truth, yeah. and it's full of prophecy mm-hmm. for the whole Bible.
Yeah.
It's difficult to correctly interpret scripture. I don't care where you're at in the Bible if you have any misguided views about Genesis.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
For example, Revelation 12 is difficult to understand without the prophecy and the explanations we find in Genesis 3.
Yep.
Those two books go hand in hand. All right, again, I'm not debating anything. You're going to have to get in God's word to study this stuff for yourself. And you shouldn't base truth on anything that I say or we say in this podcast.
Yep.
You know, you got to go to God's word. That's where you base your truth. So that being said, the woman we read about, sorry, y'all. The woman we read about in Revelation 12 is the nation of Israel. And the crown that she's wearing, and if you've never read it before, I'll read some of it. The crown that she's wearing represent the 12 tribes of Israel. So here's Revelation 12:1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. The nation of Israel is represented here. And the way it's represented is the conception or fertilization of the seed of Eve that we read about in Genesis. And here's what God said to the serpent in the garden after Adam and Eve had fallen. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This fertilization or conception of the seed being Jesus Christ, can be found in Luke 3:23-38. And you'll find from Adam to Seth, who is replacement for Abel to Noah, preacher of righteousness to Abraham, father of the 12 tribes, being the crowns, to Moses, whom God gave the law, to King David, all the way down to Jesus. The whole genealogy is there. Now, I believe that this genealogy recorded in Luke represents the lineage of the sons of God mentioned in Genesis.
Okay.
All right? And that's the way I interpret it. What other people interpret is not my argument. Again, this is not an attempt to debate. But Revelation 12 tells us in the next verse, verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailed in birth, and pained to be delivered. Revelation 12:2 aligns with Genesis 3:16. Here's what God told Eve would happen because she had eaten of the forbidden fruit. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to the husband, and she will rule over thee. So you see, the sorrow of this conception or the pregnancy of the woman in Revelation 12 is the nation of Israel. She has a seed, the child is Christ. Israel has historically gone through a great deal of sorrow. And most of the time we focus on biblical accounts, you know, when the Jews were in slavery under Egypt and they're suffering under the Roman Empire. But what we don't look at most of the time is we don't focus on Genesis 3-6 or Revelation 12, 2 Peter, Jude, Isaiah, Ezekiel, there's a lot more. And I'm not going to go that far. But in verse 3, there appeared another woman wonder in heaven. This is chapter 12, verse 3, Revelation. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. This great red dragon is Satan. The horns and crowns are kings and kingdoms. Now, John uses the same symbolism here as Daniel used. The difference is John's looking back from the end of looking from the end of time in the kings and kingdoms. And Daniel saw a linear time as they arose, okay? But still the same thing. The history, including biblical history, repeats itself over and over. The kings and kingdoms have changed through time. However, the battle plan, the spiritual war is what we call it here on the podcast, it remains the same. And I'll tell you that today, the United Nations and this new world order, the WEF, all this whole movement, they're aligning perfectly with this prophecy, including the number of kings and the kingdoms. Mm-hmm. Okay, but that's for another place, another time. I'm just trying to give an example of how scripture fits together.
Yeah.
Verse 4, chapter 12. And his tail drew a third part of the stars in heaven, and they cast them into the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for devour her child as soon as it was born. What we're seeing here is Satan as a demon standing before the nation of Israel. All right, this nation is Satan's enemy. They represent the seed's gestation period, the seed being Christ. Satan's desire was to devour the seed of Eve, the child, and to destroy her Messiah who would bring mankind salvation. If we look closer at this conception through the glasses of Genesis, Adam was created to till the soil. He was the gardener of God's personal garden. He was to protect it and cultivate it. God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Adam was the first man, the human father of mankind. If we tie all these things together, being the genealogy in Luke, Jesus being the seed of Eve, the first man is Adam, Adam being the gardener of God's garden, the gestation of the seed or the pregnant woman, which is Israel, and the enmity between the seed of Eve and the seed of Satan, and also Eve's suffering and conception, we can then understand Adam's punishment for eating of the forbidden fruit and what you just said about work.
Yeah.
All right. Go back to Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth thee to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. That herb is seed. Mm-hmm. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. Bread's made from that seed. Grain. Till thou return unto the ground, for out of it what thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. All right. Again, there's a whole lot more to unpack here, but there's 3 points we need to make here. The ground was cursed. You got to work. There would be great difficulty in germination period of the seed, that being Jesus. Okay? It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be a Christian. The ground, the world, Satan, they fight against it. In Genesis 1:26, we see that God gave man dominion over the earth. And after sin, Adam and Eve, well, they passed it down to Satan. The result was verse 18 of Genesis 3, which leads us to point number 2. Thorns and thistles would come from the ground. This is the seed of Satan. It's not the seed eventually is the Antichrist, okay?
I get what you're saying. Yep, I understand.
But you have to understand the spirit of the Antichrist is here just like the spirit of the Lord was here before he would come to the earth, okay?
Right. Yep.
Satan was given dominion and earth brought forth thorns and thistles. Thorns and thistles take over by choking out good seeds. So you can see the suffering in the germination, the pregnant woman having the seed of Eve, okay? Do you see the connection between Genesis and Revelations, how they're kind of tying together?
Yeah, I do.
I'd like to point out that my Jesus wore a crown of thorns on his head when he hung on a tree.
Right.
Okay? For my sins. So you understand what those thorns meant? On the third day, he rose from the dead, and the seed, Jesus, took dominion over those thorns and thistles.
Right.
All right, he conquered sin and death, and now he possesses the deed to this world.
That's right. That's
exactly he has right. dominion. It's revealed in chapter 12, verse 5.
Yep.
And she brought forth a man who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God in his throne. So what next? There's a lot that comes next. But in the end, Jesus will come again and take possession of what he owns because he holds the deed. He paid for it, is paid in full. He holds it.
That's right.
Right? On to point number 3, Genesis 3:19. I just mentioned Jesus having victory over death, and we have that too through him. In the physical realm, our flesh does return to dust from which we are created. However, this point is focused upon the part of verse 19 that says, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. It's just not easy for to be a Christ follower. And these are really difficult times we're living in here, and we talk about this stuff all the time on the podcast.
Who is the bread of life?
Well, it's coming, guys. I just want, this is an example of how why you need to read God's word. But again, we're in a spiritual war, and we're all held between the war between Eve's seed and Satan's seed. The focus here is about that bread, all right? And point number three, that bread comes from the herb of the field, the grain or seed which makes the bread in Genesis 3:19 that God spoke to Adam about. And in the sweat of our face will we eat this bread. And Jesus taught in parables. He spoke of sowing seeds, fields, harvesting. In fact, we read about this all through Scripture. But it all points back to Genesis 3. When we imagine Jesus' time, you know, in the Middle East, we assume that these guys ate lamb or beef or whatever as part of their diet because you had shepherds. That wasn't the case. 70% or more of their protein came from bread. That bread came from grain. Grain is seed. Jerusalem was dependent on wheat to sustain life, dependent on bread. Jesus is the seed in Genesis. Uh-huh. You understand? Jesus said he was the bread of life, as you just said. Jesus broke bread at the Last Supper and said, "This is my body."
Yeah.
Jesus told us to pray along the lines of the Lord's Prayer, and in it he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." So let me tell you something about wheat fields, all right? I don't going off on another one, but I have to. When the wheat was harvested, the wheat was not dead, okay? It would turn brown. But men in Jerusalem, they take their sickles to the base of the wheat stalk and harvest it. And the harvesting the grain to make their life-sustaining bread, okay? That was their protein. They had to have it. The wheat plant would then die after they cut it. But something else happens in this harvest of this death of the wheat plant. All the seeds from the plant's not captured. Many fall to the ground. Again, Jesus was Eve's seed in the garden. The biblical history of Israel in the Old Testament is the gestation period of the pregnant woman in Romans 12, where the nation of Israel spoke, you know, you get it. But that one seed was planted. It sprouted and matured for 33 years before it was cut. Yeah, and then it was harvested, and it died in the process. But the plant of that seed produced seeds, and new seeds fell into the ground. And they also made bread.
Yeah.
But let's look back to the following passages in Revelation 12, which I didn't read. And there was a war in heaven. Mike and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Here's the most relevant point that I want to make on this. In verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which has accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." The disciples were worried about Jesus leaving them and about being left behind here on earth. And Jesus told them he would send a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died, when that wheat plant from the seed of the garden was cut, the wheat plant not only produced the grain for bread that sustained life, it also shed seeds on the ground. And we read about the results of those seeds being shed on the ground in the book of Acts. We see the comforter. What we see here is one wheat plant being cut, its death, and then the Pentecost. It's the beginning of the New Testament church. The continued harvesting for the bread of life has now produced a great wheat field. This wheat field and the bread demands work. It's hard. It's not only work, there's a fight against the thorns and thistles that want to grow and choke out the plants. This is your spiritual war.
So I got to say this. I know you're probably going to go there, but I got to interrupt for just 1 second. Whenever we read in Scripture where it talks about the fields are ripe for the harvest, They're ripe for the harvest because we have been casting the seed of truth because we have already been harvested. But we are not the harvesters. The Holy Spirit and the Comforter that you just talked about is the one that does the harvesting. It is the one that cuts the wheat plant that has grown from the seed that has been planted so that that plant can die, the old man is gone, and then plant more seed right behind it.
Agreed.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. All right. And this is just Genesis and Revelation, but there's so much in between. I'm not a scholar, preacher, teacher, whatever. At best, I'm average intelligence. So this stuff is not like coming from anybody can do this. You just got to get in God's word and read, right?
It takes time.
Again, I believe the sons of God in Genesis are represented in the genealogy of Jesus, and some may differ on that, and that's okay. However, Seth was born of Eve to replace Abel, and then Seth had a son named Enos. And we're going back to the beginning of Genesis in the genealogy. And this is Genesis 4:6. When Enos was born, it says that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, there's another debate on this over the Hebrew meaning. Some people believe that men began to identify themselves with the Lord, and others claim that men began to profane the name of the Lord. If you read commentators, you're going to get both of them. In truth, both views identify a separation between men of righteousness and some who strayed from this line of genealogy. So you can take your pick on whichever way you want to view it. You're going to reach the same point anyhow. So I'll skip all these names, this line that brings us to Genesis 6:4. And I've said all this stuff just to talk about Genesis 6:4. But that's how it works. Okay, you can't just take one thing, you know.
Got to build a house. Got to start the foundation.
You got to. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. All right, we can debate people on the giants being there when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, or who the giants were, all that kind of stuff. That's not for today. It is a fact that the offspring of the sons of God and daughters of men became mighty men, meaning they were powerful. They became men of old, which means they had legacies and they were men of renown. It is true that the sons of God were the line of men. If it's true that the sons of God were the line of men in genealogy and Jesus that you can find in Luke or Matthew, Genesis 4:6 shows that some of them strayed. Now, I mean, there's no question about that. So, I want to point out that Cain was sent into the land of Nod. And the reason God did that is to separate him and his offspring from the others. Mm-hmm. He wanted a separation. Scripture tells us that unequal yokes should not be joined. We know what happened to Samson and others in Scripture who ignored this. So take the fact that sons of God took daughters of men and bare children to them, however you want to, but we can agree that the offspring became men of renown. Right. And somehow there had to be a mix. What we know that Genesis 6 says that men's imagination became evil continually after this time. And we know that it repented the Lord and that he had ever made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And we know that God destroyed man in the flood because of man's sin.
Right.
Genesis says nothing about the sin of angels or giants or anything else. It's only the evil imaginations of men and their sins alone.
Right.
All right. So now we look at these men of renown, and they appear twice in the Bible. We find them there in Genesis, and we also find them in Numbers 16. And I'm going to read this to you. Numbers 16, verse 2. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. 4. And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Verse 5. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, who are holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him, he that hath chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. It take too long to get into these guys' names who did this and the meanings, which I'm studying, where they came from, the tribes and all that stuff. The point is that these men of renown, they conspired against Moses, Aaron, and God. They worked in the shadows to rise up against the will of God. So So you should take the time to read this for yourselves, really. Read the book of Genesis, too. The men of renown wanted to be the ones to command and control the nation of Israel, both politically and spiritually. But God had appointed Moses and Aaron to that leadership. These men wanted God and his will to be set aside, and understand these men come from the inside. Remember when Satan said in the garden, you can be like gods?
Right.
That's what these guys wanted to be, right?
Yep.
In our podcast, we've talked about the United States being set up by our founding fathers based upon God's ordination of Israel's government and God's moral law. And it's no different today than it was before the flood, man. There was men of renown then. And it's no different today than it was in Moses and Aaron's time. We've got rhinos in our conservative movement. We got men of renown everywhere.
Yep, yep.
We have people conspiring in the global arena to take control of the world, both politically and spiritually. Many are at war against one another for that control. So don't be surprised that members of the DNC would not denounce socialism. Don't be surprised at rigged elections, man-made bioweapons like COVID-19. Don't be surprised that vaccines are killing and maiming people. It's nothing new. It's not a conspiracy, because it's all happened before. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new under the sun. This world is and has been this evil, and it shouldn't surprise us. It's a war. I mean, I don't know how much more you can express it. This is a war. It's all detailed in God's word. So it's important to see what's going around all of us, and it's equally important to see God's word for the understanding. The mainstream media, they'll report stuff, but they're going to lie about the truth that's behind the news and the report. I think what I'm trying to say here is, if you want to understand what the purpose of the podcast is, or if you want to follow along with the podcast, you got to see it through spiritual glasses.
You do, yep.
And the only way you're going to do that, the glasses are God's word.
Got to be.
You know? And we speak truth. You need to know truth. Don't live in a lie. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to do it, and the reason I believe a lot of people don't do it is because they don't want to work.
Yep.
And nowhere in scriptures does it say it's going to be easy. It doesn't say it's going to be comfortable.
Nope.
It does not allow you to pick and choose what you want.
Nope.
What makes you feel good.
Nope.
What makes you happy.
Nope.
I'm pretty much done. Did any of that stuff make any sense?
It made perfect sense, man.
That was great. I like it when David sits and thinks during the week.
Yeah, man. Makes it easy for us, doesn't it? David's good at thinking, man.
I really like that. You know, he's good at taking y'all the don't big
start,
picture.
Don't start taking all that stuff and praising and everything. Anybody could do this stuff, man. You just got to read God's word. It comes to you.
It's still very helpful to hear it.
It's helpful to get us started. You know, get us started, man. You know what I mean? Because I think that's part of people's problem, is they don't even know where to start. But you lay out an outline like that, now they can go back and they can just, if they don't do anything else, but just follow you step by step. You push pause, go look at that. Play pause, go look at that. Then they're doing it, but they've had help. So that's what I'm talking about. That's phenomenal.
And
I'm fine with
that. That's the way the story, the examples of all the men in the Bible is. This is what they did.
Yep.
Follow them.
That's exactly right.
And that's how we all are as believers. We are supposed to be getting out and being doers of the word and inspiring others to follow after us.
This is true. The other thing, so we've got a new follower. I don't know if he'll listen to this one. That's one of my old buddies. I don't mention people's names unless he actually tells I can, but I will say this about him, that the man is biblically grounded. And so he started listening just this week. And I appreciate it too, because he, without even being prodded, has started sending us comments. And what he's doing in the process is he is reinforcing, if you want to, or teaching at the same time. You know, he is showing us also that, you know, encouraging. You're on the right track. This is awesome. And did you consider this? And so I just want to read a couple of the comments. He did one on the whole, when we did a podcast on scripture, interpreting scripture. We did the Romans 13 study. The first thing he said, just, hey, consider this, man. 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is in of any private interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. That's an important fact and a truth right there that you got to get in your brain before you start doing this study, because you don't get to make up the definition for what you think it means. It's got to mean what it means when he wrote it down.
That's right. That's truth.
That's truth. That's absolutely truth. And so, I mean, he goes on, I believe you concluded that Paul in Romans 13 was referring to the institution of government. He says this, and I think this is amazing. It is worth noting that in Numbers chapter 1, God commanded Moses to organize the congregation by those who were capable of war. This included their families. Having a structure of leadership changed the nation of Israel from a mixed multitude to an organized moving army. Since the fall of man, God had to institute a form of government so that man would not destroy himself, and ultimately, this would offer a form of protection for the righteous. It had more than one purpose. It was not just to spread the truth. It was to protect the ones that were spreading the truth.
Second Amendment.
You had to be. Yeah, exactly.
I got to throw this in there. And then we talk about men of renown. Look what the ATF has done with this pistol braces. They do not have any legal right to write law.
No.
It's Congress, but they're doing it.
They're doing it anyway.
Men of renown.
Men of renown. Men of renown. And then the one I got from yesterday, and I just read it this morning at like 3 a.m. because I've been up a long time, and I'm sorry. But this one was on, we did a podcast called Spiritual Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I don't know if you remember that one or not. You go back and listen to it, and this one to make more sense, and I'm not going to tell you what it said, so you have to listen to it.
There you go.
But he says, you're absolutely correct. The deception will not be some dude saying that he is Jesus Christ. The greater deception will come from those who claim that Jesus Christ is the Lord, but will promote another Christ. Someone who is walking with the Lord will know the true shepherd's voice and will follow him. That's the truth, man. Those who are not walking with the Lord will fall for the deception, because the deception will be that great. How do we know those who know the Lord? The Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14:15. "And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love," John 15:10. Seeing the weather balloon that we had this week from China, take a Sunday stroll across America, drives home the fact that our government is not protecting our land. Our land, our inheritance from the Lord, just like Israel's, can be taken away. The Lord took it away from Israel when they denied the Lord their God. It can be taken away from us too. Nowhere in Scripture is America mentioned.
Yeah.
None. Joko is not even on the map in the Bible. But we can take assurance that God will be with his people through thick and thin. The church is supposed to be the mobile army. And our hub, our base, is supposed to be America. Yep. What God gave us to work from, just like he gave the people of Jerusalem, Israel, land. Here you go, buddy. This is where you're working from. We're supposed to protect that just as much as we're supposed to protect each other. Mm-hmm. And your men of renown up there are poking their finger in our eye. Like, watch this.
But as Moses said, if you get in God's word, he'll reveal who's holy.
If you reveal.
And who's righteous.
That's right.
And who's not.
How do you know the truth? You got to have something to use as a filter.
Yep.
I was talking with my brothers in the group we have a couple of weeks ago. And as I was talking, I was thinking, it was interesting to see the different ways God is using different people. One of my brothers is very stoic and not very emotional, but he's as committed as they come. He's steady and keeps marching in the direction of truth. Another of my brothers is more social and like a social butterfly and more just really wants to tell people how much God loves them.
You really have to use the word butterfly.
Let's say y'all brothers.
Yeah, that's wrong. That was wrong terminology. I'm sorry. I didn't think enough before I said that.
That's all right. Yeah.
But anyway.
Sorry.
You know what I'm saying? They have different personalities.
He's more outgoing.
I couldn't pass that
He's
one
He's more up. Outgoing. Yeah. I'm sorry. At least they didn't name names.
He's extrovert. Yeah, they can wonder who you're talking about.
But you even see differences between us here.
Yeah.
You know, the difference in our personalities in this podcast and the different things, the different perspectives we have in conversation. And it's amazing just to look back and to see the different personalities that God has used in telling, working with the same truth. But yet we all have different parts to play. And Paul talks about that we are different members of the body of Christ. We have different roles to play in telling the truth and telling the gospel. But we all work together as a whole in unity. Yeah. That was just an interesting thought I had recently.
All right, so I'm going to expand on that because it's in my Sunday school lesson. It's amazing how these always end up lining up.
Yeah.
Right, and so we talked about Jesus being the bread of life. And that the life came from the seed, him being the seed. You do realize they made bread out of more than one seed. Mm-hmm. Okay. They had rye seed. They had barley seed. They had wheat seed. They had all kinds of different grains. And you can look in Ezekiel and get a recipe. They have it in the grocery store called Ezekiel bread. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not very good bread, by the way. It didn't taste terrible. You ever had Ezekiel bread? My point is this, though. There's a whole bunch of different seed that was all put together to give you one loaf. That's what Brian's talking about. In the Bible, in Genesis, it says that whenever the herbs of the field reproduce, they reproduce after their kind.
Exactly.
And it puts it in a group. And it's a group of seed that make up a loaf of bread, but they're all the same kind. There's only one truth. It came from one place, and it is God's word.
And species are not kinds.
Species are not kinds. They're not kinds. And so inside of that group, what you have is between, I don't know how much y'all know about the horticulture, but I looked this up. So a wheat plant, whatever you want to call it, wheat cannot be pollinated by corn. But you can put wheat and rye and oats and all these things in the field together and they will pollinate each other.
The two main was wheat and one more were the main two that.
Yeah.
And they naturally built fields.
And they just built fields. Yeah. Pollinating each other.
Yep.
Spreading.
Yep.
Just waiting for the harvest to drop more seed.
Yep. That's fantastic, ain't it?
Kinds. Made after its kind.
Kind.
One kind.
One kind.
Jesus Christ kind. You know what I mean? Yep. Anyway.
Keep on going with it.
Oh, well, That's all I had for that. That just had to expand on your seed and your kinds. And he's talking about different personalities. And there it is, man. It holds true, biblical truth.
And if you're a believer, you got something to do too.
You do.
Don't sit on your butt.
Just for the viewing pleasure, listening pleasure, I guess people to watch and listen both at the same time. I'm going to throw just a couple of current event things that I did get to see this week, even though it was really hard. Just so we can say that we actually addressed it, because people were wondering things that we're not really hearing about. The first one I have here, we've all talked about the vaccine and the COVID and all that stuff. Daniel Horowitz wrote an article on Monday, and he just titled it a question. Did 7.5 million people die from the COVID shots? And man, I'm going to put this in there, and I would encourage you to read it. He made an estimate back in the beginning when the shots first came out. I'm sorry. That some 7.8 million people would experience some form of, actually it's more than that, but he was estimating 7.85 million people would die from the COVID shots globally, not just in the United States, but across the globe. And it turns out that a new peer review that was done by Michigan State University estimated as of December the 18th of 2021 that just here in the United States we had 278,000 Americans that died from reactions to the jab. That was a published study. That was without a doubt these guys died. 278,000. And then these people, they take some information that comes from state by state from the VIRS deaths that have been voluntarily recorded as of December 18th. And it actually backs up their numbers. Then they said, well, there were severe adverse events are estimated to be about 1 million nationwide, just in America. Less severe adverse effects, 2.1 million in America. Estimated nationwide fatalities, severe injury or less severe injury, 3.4 million. That was the first year after the vaccine. That was in 2021. You caught the date, right? Not 2022.
Right.
This was December 18th of 2021. And so, and that was something that was sort of, you know, shocked. It should have been shocking, but nobody paid attention to it. So they say, well, so how many died in the world over this past 2 years?
20 million.
And they use the same numbers from, they give a website here, Our World in Data. 493 million doses of the vaccine were administered in the United States alone. 493 million. And that was at the time they were doing the study. So 493 million doses were enough to kill, this was like 2021 again, not the whole, we've had who knows how many since then. 2021, 493 million doses, 278,000 Americans dead. How many would have died at the same rate if we use that same rate and apply it globally? You know how many doses of vaccine versus how many people? This is how many died. They can do a mathematical, you know, extraction, if you will, to see what the estimate would be, how many people died globally. Now, remember I told you this Horowitz guy had done it prior to the information coming out. He was just basically, he was guessing. But he was, I mean, it was educated guess, but he didn't know. He didn't have all the data. He was just guessing. He guessed 7.855 million would have died from the globally from the shot. They used their extrapolations, how many would have died at the same rate globally from beginning until today. And at 13.24 billion doses of the vaccine have been administered globally, it would result in 7.47 million vaccine fatalities, more than people that died during the Holocaust. It'd be 27 million severely injured globally. It's getting to the point now that if you don't know somebody who's had a terrible side effect or has actually died from the vaccine, it's because you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Or they lied to you and said it was something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they usually say it's something else, but we don't know what.
We don't have a clue what.
It's all a mystery.
So I was following in on that, and I found this other article here. It was from Newsweek, and it caught my attention because it says, it's time for the scientific community to admit we were wrong about COVID and it costs lives. It's just an opinion article by some dude, and I think his name's Kevin Bass, but he's a doctor. And so he's a medical, he's still in medical school looking for a PhD, you know what I mean? This is the first sentence right off the bat. As a medical student and researcher, I staunchly supported the efforts of the public health authorities when it came to COVID-19. I believed that they were that the authorities responded to the largest public crisis in our lives with compassion, with diligence, and scientific expertise. I was with them when they called for lockdowns, vaccines, and boosters. That's his opening paragraph. And then his next one says, I was wrong. We, emphasized, in the scientific community were wrong and it cost lives. I can see now that the scientific community from the CDC to the WHO to the FDA and their representatives repeatedly overstated the evidence and misled the public about its own views and policies, including natural versus artificial immunity, school closures and disease transmission, aerosol spread, mask mandates, and vaccine effectiveness and safety, especially among the youth. All of these were scientific mistakes at the time, not hindsights. They have to start admitting it. You can't ignore it.
Dr. Burks has admitted she lied, including the vaccine.
Yep.
She lied about all of it.
She did. So you've got this side of it over here where people are finally coming to. We've got all this data that's showing that's what it is. You've got some scientists that are actually admitting the truth because here we go again. You can't have two opposing views, both of them be true at the same time. One or both have to be false. So what is the mainstream media doing? Well, they're coming out with all these weird things, from colds to comochiocarditis. Medical pundits research to reach really far to try to rule out the COVID vaccine and health scares.
Eggs cause blood clots.
Yeah, eggs. Eggs causing blood clots. I mean, come on, man.
Well, I used them to stop up my radiator. One yeah.
You know, guy's heart stops automatically. Well, you know, he was he didn't wear his shoes, and he was shuffling across the carpet, and he reached out for the doorknob. Boy, he got shocked. It stopped his heart. It won't the vaccine. Static. Static stopped his heart. And, you know, they're just having to go.
It's bad.
It's bad. It's so bad. Oh, man. This one guy says, we're in the weird stage now. You know, we're like, we know that it's not what we're telling you, but we kind of got to say it anyway because we've made this commitment to Satan, who is the father of all our lies, and we have to continue.
There's truth.
That's truth right there. Oh, man.
And it's no different today than it was in biblical times.
None.
It's all happened before.
I guess, what's that lady's name? Yasmin Vasa Gian. She's a news anchor. They were writing about it to the doctor. We're at a weird stage now where Yasmin was fully vaccinated and developed pericarditis and myocarditis and now blames a cold for her new health troubles. Also probably has shamed someone recently for not following the science. I mean, I'm not laughing at the people's health, man.
No.
I think a lot of people took the vaccine because they were scared, and they were scared because the media told them they ought to be scared. Mm-hmm. And they believed the lie. Mm-hmm. And for that, they ought to be angry, like a righteous indignation. Like, I can't believe they lied to me.
Right.
And it ought to be motivation for everyone who's seeing this junk to quit believing the lies, or at least try to find the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of people are convinced. There's no way medical professionals in our government can be that evil.
Oh, well.
And that's the point I'm trying to make.
Well,
yes, yes, they can. It's not conspiracy. You can't make this up. And it's happened before. Yeah. Read your Bible.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, this is not, we're not just trying to come up with conspiracy theories.
Nope.
It's already happened.
Yep.
You know? Yes, the world's that evil.
Yeah.
Read Genesis.
Exactly. It's not coincidence that you are conditioned to believe that something like that is a conspiracy theory.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
It's been planned.
I tell you, I mean, in the words of Pops, man, if you can just get your biblical glasses on, it's so simple.
Yeah.
You know, more people need to know and understand it. Who's going to tell them?
You just got to read and then read it again and read it again and read it again. The Holy Spirit will, he'll show you. You ain't got to be smart. I'm not smart.
Yeah.
You know?
So as I'm listening to all this, the bread of life and the plan of the gospel, thought about this song that I've, we haven't sung in our church yet, but I'll give you a sneak peek of the lyrics because we're going to do it eventually. But I'm going to read this first verse. It's a song by City of Light Music, and it's called There Is One Gospel. And the first verse says this, and I would encourage you to go check out the song, but there is one gospel on which I stand for all eternity. It is my story, my Father's plan. The Son has rescued me. Oh, what a gospel. Oh, what a peace. My highest joy and my deepest need. Now and forever, He is my light. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Sweet. Can't wait.
That's what we're doing here in the podcast. Mm-hmm. We're standing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we really want you as a listener to understand what the truth is.
Absolutely.
That's the goal. And if you feel compelled in any way to check it out for yourself, please do. It is absolutely worth your time.
It'll change your life because it changed mine.
Mm-hmm. And then you want to take that truth that you learn and share it with others.
Yep. And that's where the reward comes.
That's how the wheat field's built.
Yep. When you watch it change somebody's life, mm-hmm. there's where the reward comes. There's where the motivation comes to want to tell somebody else.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go and be wheat.
Go and be weak.
Yeah, that's right.
Be weak.
Oh, man.
Wish they could make it taste good, though. You know what I'm saying? That's another truth. You know, don't always taste good, but it's good for you, so you got to eat it. You know what I'm saying?
Eating your Wheaties, is that the same thing?
I don't know, man. That's kind of close. No, man. Y'all good?
Good.
All right. We out, folks.
Thank you for listening to the League of Logic podcast. We really hope that something said has caused you to think and ultimately caused you to check it out for yourself. We want you to look for, understand, and know the truth. As always, if you need some assistance getting on that path, we do have our studies tools inside our website, leagueoflogic.com, where you can find those basic topics that will help you get a start. Please check out our comment question page in the website. We'd love to hear from you. Do the same thing on Facebook. We also have a store, t-shirts, hoodies, hats, things like that would help us out a lot in promoting what we're doing. But most importantly, please subscribe, follow, hit whatever button you got to push to keep up with the channel. That goes a long way in helping us out. And share it. Tell somebody about it. Thank you again for listening to the League of Logic podcast, and we look forward to you tuning in on the next episode.